It is good, so I want. I mean, it is good that today's message is Paul's last words for Timothy. Now, some of you are moving on to places where God is leading you to, and so. This period of time when you're in UVA is complete. It's complete. And there's still some parting words I feel that maybe God wants to speak to you about. And there's no more better than Paul's last two letters, First and Second Timothy. I mean, we said this is Paul's last will and testament. But I don't think that really Paul thought about that. You know, I'm going to have this be preserved for 2,000 years. But it is still for him, it's a summary of what he most precious to him. It's a summary of his work. It's a summary, it's a cautionary tale for Timothy to watch out for certain things, to be on guard for certain things, to do these things, because these are important for the propagations of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul laid it all out for Timothy. If you really want to read it, you probably need to read it the first and Second Timothy together to see, you know, where his heart is. And the first and Second Timothy, probably there's a period of maybe a year between these two letters. Second Timothy definitely is his last letters. And so today I want to read from First Timothy. And there's so much stuff in here, you know, that he wants to Timothy to be aware of, to be careful of, you know. And but I thought this is this passage here is a little bit more relevant to us today, especially as people leaving a environment, a bubble, so to speak, you know, for the last 6, 7 years. Like Mujo's been here 6 years, right? And then Shelly's been here 6 years too. So leaving this environment, leaving this familiar places, and be careful. So this is what Paul says in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 1 to verse 12. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demon. What kind of things? Such teaching comes through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared with a hot iron. The things that they taught that were not the truth is they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who knows the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Okay, let's just pause here. I think the first thing for us, especially people who are maybe going to a different location, different place, to know your time. Paul tells Timothy that at the later time, that later time here actually applies to all the times after Jesus. And Paul has no idea how long is the later, But he's looking at his time. He concludes his time is the later time. And of course, we know that it's not later because we are later than him, but 2,000 years later. But still, it's the later time. It's the later time applies to all the time. And in doing all this time, there's deceiving spirits. Things, I mean, he was pretty blunt. Things taught by demons. We don't think about demons, you know, kind of flying around us. But deceiving spirit is among us. Deceiving spirit. What are deceiving spirit? I mean, you look at it. What kind of world that you live in? What kind of world you live in? Everything that you see around us, it could be an arena for the deceiving spirit. Let's talk about entertainment, right? Entertainment world. I mean, I'm kind of old school, so I just watch movies. But a lot of you watch, you know, personal media, I guess. TikTok and things like that, right? TV show, podcast. Many of these things, they don't honor God. Many of the content of these things, they don't honor God. And in fact, they brought out the worst in people. There is greed. I mean, there's murders on TV. The most popular genre of movies and shows, a horror movie. Do you know that? Blood, horror, scare you, that type of thing. People love those. Eat them up. And then you see all these other things on TV. Adultery is almost like in every drama. So, what kind of idea is these things bringing to us? I was talking to Pastor Carter. He says there are people in his congregation who are divorced, who are thinking about divorce, who are, you know, these things kind of creep in. You know, how do they, and then the church are not alarmed by it because they're so used to it. They're so used to it. By the survey, 50% of Christians, the divorce rate among Christians is no different from the divorce rate who are non-Christians. They're similar. So this is all these influence because they don't see these things, you know, seen as a big deal anymore. Because you're so numb to that through these entertainment shows. Hours after hours, day after day, years after years, the mindset of the believer have been seared. And the deceiving spirit had done his work. So that's just entertainment. And then, which is a big part of our lives, if you really think about it. You know, nobody reads the Bible all the time or pray all the time. But people spend more time watching these things. And then I'm just thinking about deceiving spirit, you know, coming to us, you know, just bombard us. You know, fashion and cosmetics are big business. The world's richest man owns a fashion and cosmetic company. This guy is a French guy, and he owns a company who are called Louis Vuitton. Ever heard of Louis Vuitton? How much is the handbag cost? Huh? I mean, a real one, not the copy ones, but the real one. You talk about thousands of dollars. People were willing to buy those. Okay? That's why this guy was rich. Christian Dior. And this guy, the last time I checked, his name is Bernard Arnault. Arnault. A-R-N-A-U-L-T. Frenchman. He's worth $187 billion. More than Jeff Bezos. Can you imagine? This guy just does nothing but do handbags and make perfumes. People buys into that. That's the time. That's your time. That's your time. I mean, when we were growing up, that wasn't a big deal. You buy a handbag, you just go to the, you know, little store on the street. You know, you buy a handbag and it's useful. But now, this is the deceiving spirit. They think that the more money you spend on these accessory, it means make you prettier? I don't know. Make you more prestige? Maybe. But, you know, I would not know the difference between a Louis Vuitton handbag and a Kmart handbag. I wouldn't know the difference. But some people may, you know. Some people may. But deceiving spirit make you feel that you're worth more because you are able to afford to buy a handbag. Then, of course, you guys are all influenced by social media and mass media, podcasts. How much time do you guys spend on your mobile phone? Cell phone. What do you do? What do you do on your cell phone? You watch shows? You read? I read a lot of news, you know, and they influence me. You know, especially if you are catered to more liberal media, then your views are more liberal. If your liking is more conservative, you just gravitate towards the conservative podcast, you become more conservative. Their influence on you. How many of you are active in social media? Like WeChat, online, Instagram, Facebook? What other thing? There are other ones. They cater to different age group too. Do I need to say more? I think I told you. Is that I just discovered there's, they cater you to, they segment you into different age group, depend on your liking. And their algorithm to see what kind of media that you visit the most, and then it automatically kind of pops up for you. This is the time you live in. You know, it's not you. You know, we just receive them. Scripture tells us we have to be discriminating. Let me read this passage for you. This is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You have to be discerning. Know the deceiving spirit. Chapter 4, Paul's writing to Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellence or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, your mind is not just sort of kind of, your mind is a sponge that absorbs things. And you have to have discernment to see what you want your mind to be influenced by. You have that choice. So Paul says, whatever is true, lovely, pure, admirable, let them come in. Exclude other things. That is the way you can eliminate or at least subtracting the deceiving spirits have on your life, influence on your life. Then we haven't even get to talk about how you view wealth. You know, how is money play into your life? We haven't even talked about when Paul says, I am content whether I have money or I don't have money. I am content. You know, we haven't even talked about contentment. But the deceiving spirit comes in and tells you, you have to have so much amount in order to be happy. There are articles written about that. There's survey. Now, how much money you need to have in order to be happy? How much money do you need in order to have a worry-free retirement? I know because I read them. I read them. You know, I said, man, I'm far from that. I should be miserable. I should be miserable. But see, these are the deceiving spirits to come and let you know that, hey, you know, your happiness, your security is based on how much you have, what you own. Deceiving spirit. That's the landscape of our time. You have to discern. You have to know, you know. And scripture tells us in Romans 12:2 is that we have to transform by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. So that you know the will of God. So that you can know the will of God. If your mind is always on this, you know, influenced by this deceiving spirit, and it's sort of kind of in the mud, you were not able to know, discern the will of God, which is pure, true, and lovely. But, you know, I don't think Paul just tells Timothy, says, okay, you're fighting a losing battle. He's not telling Timothy to fight a losing battle. He's telling Timothy certain things that you can combat. You can fight against these deceiving spirits. You know, it is one of those things that either you fight or you don't fight. Right? You fight. Paul tells Timothy, this is what you do. You don't fight. Well, pretty soon, the salt lose its saltiness. Pretty soon, light is gone out. You know, pretty soon, you just like non-Christians. Non-Christians. So Paul tells Timothy, he's not going to leave Timothy figured out by himself. So, first of all, you know, Paul had to deal with this marriage thing. I mean, he had to deal with it in 1 Timothy about some people think that marriage is not a good thing. Marriage is, you know, Jesus is coming back soon, so what's the point of marrying? So stop marrying. It's your devotion to Christ. Don't get married and don't eat certain food. Thinking is that all these things will show a devotion to Christ. And Paul says, no. He says, everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So first thing I think you need to know is that even though these things are happening, these deceiving spirit using what God created for good to influence us, but we have to know that all these things were good if we receive it with prayers and thanksgiving. These things are not evil by itself. Devil is evil. He used these things to make it worse in our lives. But we must realize that these things are good things because God is always good. God is always good. Demon is bad. God is always good. And God is greater than our pop culture. God is greater than our times. We need to test if the culture is godly or not by the word of God, by the word of God. So, first thing is that you test it and to see if this is good or not good. You go see a movie, it says, what is the movie going to do for you? I mean, scare you to death? You get really into this bloody mess, you know? We have people in Hungary says, they just enjoy this blood and guts, you know, to see the movie. They like that. Well, what's the word of God says about that? You know, what's the word of God? Does God promote blood and guts? Or, you know, he did die, you know, the cruelest form of death, but for salvations, for our salvations. So test everything. And then second of all, that in verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers, you will be good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truth of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Verse 6. It says, here, he's assuming that Timothy is with the church. He is there to teach the church about these things. He's there to remind the church, brothers and sisters, about these things. So I think for us, there's a certain level of protections in this deceiving world. It's that you come, you gather together. Then you, when you gather, you remember the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And you hear the word of God preach to you. At least that can become some filter for you. So you know, people who's forsaking the gathering of saints, it's not just that they become more and more like non-Christians. It's that they become more and more like the world want them to be. So gather, do not forsake. You might not get every time you come, you are inspired by the preacher's words. It may not be like that. Probably most often you're not like that. You know, when you come, you're not getting inspired. But you know some? There is a spiritual protections as you come into worship with your brothers and sister. You know, I don't think this deceiving spirit is here among us. The Holy Spirit is here. So just don't forsake the gathering of saints. And then have nothing to do with godless myth and old wives' tale, rather train yourself to be godly. Okay? For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Okay, it's about training now. It's training. How many of you go to gym? Not regularly, but maybe not regularly, but go. Or have a membership in a gym. Quite a few people, right? Quite a few people. They all go training so they can live longer, or they can, I don't know, I mean, for beauty's sake, maybe, you know, slimmer, stronger for the guy more buff, you know, when they go over there, they do all the weight and all that. And I go there, I'm not a member anymore, but when I was there, I run on a treadmill, so my heart can be healthier, I can live longer. And then what happened? Then you die. Right? I mean, let's face it, right? You, no matter how hard you train, you cannot live forever. Then you die. Then you get old. And so Paul says, okay, it is good for you temporarily, but training for godliness holds eternal life, has benefit for the life to come. For the life to come. So as much time that you spend training to get your body right, spend as much time to get your spirit right. Now, what are some of these training? You know, to training in godly training. And Paul tells Timothy to set an example, right? This is verse 11. Verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's the five things. Godly training. To train in godliness. In your speech, let your speech be kind. Let your speech full of patience and wisdom. In your life, be an example of how you act, how you look at the values in life, you know, and not get into the deceiving spirit, not let the deceiving spirit influence your life, how you look at money, how you use your money. In love, how you love is what? Patience. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. 1 Corinthians 13. Those are all training in godliness. And then in faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everything that you do, there's some measure of faith involved. There's some measure. There is no guarantee except for that you go to heaven. There's a guarantee that once you receive Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. There's guarantee that we just read in heaven that you still worship the Lamb that was slain. But in this life, there is nothing guaranteed. We can do the best guessing that we have. The best guess. But you know, best guess, in the blink of an eye, everything changed. Right? Look at the students. Student visa. Right? In the blink of an eye, everything changed. We thought we had a bright future. We thought that we can stay here and study. Do my own thing. Blink in the eyes. Everything changed. So you gotta have faith. What? Not in this world. You'll have faith in Jesus Christ. Those are training in godliness and in purity, of course. You know, when everybody says, do what you feel good. And you, in purity, says you do what God says is good. So these are the things that will come to you. You have many opportunity to practice these. But if I guessed, a lot of time we just sort of you know, God, you don't understand. You do your own thing. Training in godliness is to do what God says. And then the last thing I want to just say is in verse 10. It says what? We have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. So, the last thing is you keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the living God. Keep your eyes believing the living God will help you to go through these many challenges and from the deceiving spirit. Keep your eyes on the living God. What you believe is not just the historical part of, you know, our communion. It's not just the historical part. Oh yeah, God, he died for us. We know that. But it's also the present, that he is here. He's here, and if you confess your sin, he is righteous, that he will forgive all your sin. And then, most of all, you live for the future. Not live that, man, I'm done with the school, I go find a job, I can have American dreams, all that. No, you live for the future, where God is the living hope. Where God is the living hope. You know, and let that always kind of occupies your mind. So it doesn't really matter. Well, it probably matter for you who are really in this, right in the midst of this challenges. But step back and have a bigger pictures. You know, God says, I got this. I got this. You know, you may not get it, but God says, I got this. Keep your eyes on the living God, on the living God. So that is just, I feel my words, because as some of you are going, and you'll be facing some of these challenges. I'm sure the challenges is going to be there, you know. I'm sure the challenge, but keep training your godliness. Keep your eyes on the living God, and always go to church. Always go to church, no matter what. Even though you don't get a whole lot of, I guess, devotions, or you don't get anything from listening to the pastor, but you still go. Because there is protections in numbers. There's protections in numbers. Okay.